Josiah, are you there? Josiah, open up. Are you in? Are you here? Oh man, I don't believe it. They finally did it. Oh man. Oh, where is he? Josiah, where are you? Oh man, they did it. They did it. They did it. Oh man. I was at home, just finished Passover supper, relaxing with the family, and I heard a noise outside. There's a bunch of people running and yelling and stuff. Oh. You know that prophet, that guy, you know, the last week, he come in, everybody's celebrating who he is and stuff like that, and they arrested him tonight. He was done with his followers at the garden, and those religious guys, they got their way. They arrested him. They're so upset with him. You know, I've been following this guy ever since I was. Did you know he actually fed 5,000 people? I was there. That was kind of amazing. Quite sure what he was talking about at times, but the fish and the bread was good. Could have used some sauce, but that's besides the point. But for the last 3 years, he's been doing some stuff, and I've been writing it down, and here it is, taking notes and trying to figure out what's going on with this guy, because what he's saying and doing is just amazing. You guys have heard of this Jesus guy, right? Man. I was trying to figure out who he is, where he came from. I heard that he was one of the few kids that survived Herod's little pogrom there. You know, when those kings came about, well, I guess it would be 30 years. Some of you guys wouldn't know that. But 30 years ago, he survived King Herod's. You know, that star and all that sort of stuff that came and happened, and Herod got his panties in a knot, and he eventually got rid of them because they said that they came to see the coming king. Herod was a little jealous type. He didn't like that. So once they got left and stuff, he killed all the little kids. When his family got out of there, and when they came back, he's one of the few kids of that age, so everybody treated him kind of good. You know, trying to figure out who this Jesus is. We knew he'd come from a good Jewish family. Everybody knows in the area Joseph's such a good carpenter, and his son was always around helping out and stuff. You know, he was in a good Jewish home, grandparents Jewish, you know. I know his family had observed the Torah and paid tithes. And I sort of got into this maybe a little too deep, but yeah, my wife says I'm kind of obsessive at times. But I know he attended the synagogue. He observed purity laws. He did all the dietary stuff. You know, I know he celebrated Passover. He's been doing that for a long time. He knew the hopes embedded in the Passover. He was aware of the growing Pharisaical movement that preached that everybody can be a little purer than what they should be. Not just the guys who worked at the temple. He knew his scripture. Man, so many times he would talk about the prophets and stuff. So his relationship with the word and his heritage was complex. I know that. So I've been following him. Looking at who is this guy? Man. You know, as he gained prominence in the area, he started to do some pretty wild things. You've probably heard of the stuff that he did, you know. I'm not exaggerating. It was crazy stuff. I know people who witnessed some of that stuff, and so I started writing things down because he was saying and doing stuff, and people are arguing, and that, all the priest guys, they're they're just nuts. They want to get rid of this guy. And it looks like they did it tonight. So I was trying to figure out who he was and what he was doing. Trying to figure out, where do I stand with this guy? You know, over the last 30 years, he did a lot of things. A lot of what people are calling miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed an official son at Capernaum. He drove out an evil spirit in Capernaum. Jesus healed his one disciple's mother-in-law. She was sick with a fever, and he healed her. Jesus healed many other sick and stuff. He even knew how to fish better than the fishermen did. He said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" He said, "Oh, no, we're not catching anything." He said, "Well, throw it on the other side." And they're going, "Yeah, right." And he caught the hugest load they'd caught in a long time. It was just bizarre. He healed a man with leprosy. He even healed a centurion, a Roman guy, a Roman soldier's daughter, or servant. He healed someone who was paralyzed. This is bizarre. His friends tore a hole in the roof because he was preaching and healing. And this guy wanted to see him so bad, his friends said, "Okay," and they picked him up and they tore the roof off the place and dropped this guy in, and Jesus healed him. It's amazing stuff. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. I tell you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were not happy that Jesus did that on a Sunday. And then, after that, he raised a widow's son from the dead. How does someone raise someone from the dead? And then he's out a little later on a cruise with his buddies trying to get across the sea, and a storm comes up, and he calms the storm. Those guys were terrified, I heard. The storm wasn't just a little blow in the wind. It was a storm, and he calms the sea. That really freaked them out. He also... I thought this was funny, being a Jew. He cast demons out of a person into a herd of pigs. Well, if you're going to get rid of pigs, I guess, that's one way to do it. Jesus healed a woman. He healed a woman in the crowd who had a blood problem. Man. He raised Jairus' daughter back. Again, he raises the dead. And then after that, he heals two blind men. then he healed a guy who was able to speak. I'm just wondering if the guy's wife was part of that. Jesus healed another invalid in Bethsaida. He fed, I was there for this one. I saw this. I heard him. He fed 5,000 men. Plus the women and the children. Man, somebody estimated there must have been over 10,000 people there. And he fed them all. And then I heard later, he didn't cater it. Some kid had a bunch of fishes and a few loaves of bread. And he created enough and there was leftover. How do you do that? What else do I got here? He's got Jesus healed a deaf and dumb man. Then another time he fed another 4,000 people. I wasn't on that one. I had to work. Jesus healed a blind man. I said that one. Oh, man. Unclean spirit. Now, I wish it's April coming up here and taxes are due. And how Jesus paid his taxes that one time was kind of neat. He just told his friend. Some people are saying, should you pay taxes or not? And Jesus says, "Well, yeah, you should. You know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and stuff." And he says, one of his disciples, he sent him to go fishing. And he says, "When you go fishing, the first fish you catch, open it up, and there'll be enough money in there to pay taxes." Who wants to go fishing with me next week? Man, I think some of us have to fish for a long time, but oh, he heals a blind man. He healed another woman who'd been crippled for 18 years, I found out. He healed a man with dropsy, again, on the Sabbath. Some people really didn't like that. He healed 10 on his way here for the Passover feast. He stopped and he healed 10 lepers. Amazing. And then he's over in where was that? Bethany. He heals a dead guy. He'd been dead for 3 days. Whew. I went and saw it. You know, some of us heard about that, and we went and looked just a couple days ago, and yeah, the guy's around kicking. It looks pretty good, too. Not bad. And then there's been this guy who was around the pool for a lot of years. He healed him. Restored his sight. And then he kind of walking into town, he withers a fig tree. There's a nice big bush. Now it's just this little thing. Just bizarre. And then tonight, I guess when they arrested him, the crowd was going by, and I heard that one of his followers chopped off one of the guy's ears. And Jesus got all upset, and he healed his ear. He put his ear back on. Ugh. Oh. Imagine what that guy felt like. First, my ear. And then it's like, what? Oh, man. I know. Some of these things just seem really wild. I listen to this stuff and I wonder, could he be an anointed one? Could he be the chosen one? Nobody in our history has done anything like this before. Nothing. And he's doing it consistently over the last 3 years. I saw a couple of those things. I was involved in that. Pretty wild. But then, you know, and of course, if there's a show, there's got to be a speech. So he's doing all this stuff, and he's talking to us about God, about our relationship with the Father. Some of it not that easy to take. I was talking to a few guys this week, and we come up with some of these things that he was saying. What was that again? Some of it the Pharisees and the religious elite didn't like. Some of the things that Jesus wrote, or we wrote down that Jesus had gotten people ticked off was some of the claims he made. Some of the things he did. We figured that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're getting a little ticked off about he's kind of upsetting their apple cart. Threatening their religious system. He threatened their way of life. And we know what happens when you start doing that. People get really upset. Plus, a lot of people didn't like the people Jesus socialized with. See, it sort of seems like Jesus had a lack of respect for a lot of our religious traditions. Jesus said these are some of the things that going around town that Jesus said. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yeah, even his own life, we can't be his disciple. I think that was just kind of a manner of speech. I think Jesus is mostly talking, I hope. It talks about following God, following Jesus. While he says the kingdom of heaven is free for us to receive, there is a cost associated with following him. seems like the bottom line of this message is that if we want to be a disciple, we must submit everything to him. I don't know. And then one of the other points one of the shop owners was saying to me was, Jesus said, you can't love God and money. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Okay, as a shop owner, we'd like to try, don't we? That's the whole mantra of our culture today, is to get more. Jesus says, gives our lives a totally different meaning and trajectory. Jesus told his followers to die to our desires daily and to live generously. You cannot live a generous life and live to get more for yourself. That just doesn't work. I want as much as I can, screw everybody else, but I don't want to follow Jesus. Doesn't work. Then after that, he says, well, if you can't love God money, he says, don't worry about it. He says, don't worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat and drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Okay, maybe this one isn't that controversial. It's nice to be able to trust. But it certainly goes against our culture. Everybody knows. Everybody likes to complain and worry. We worry about everything. Mostly things that are out of control. But this is totally out of our control. It's not like you can flip a switch, whatever that is. Stop worrying. Jesus keeps saying over and over again, not to. Those are nice things to contemplate and go with. But then, as his preaching and miracles are doing stuff, more and more people are coming out, and we get to realize that he's got more than just that kind of agenda. We find out that the guys are talking about the one thing you can say about Jesus, he takes sin very seriously. Some guy was at the thing where he heard, he said, this stuck with him, he said, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame with two hands or two feet that need to be thrown into the fire than with them. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than two to be thrown in the fire hell. Those got to be a figure of speech. I don't see many of the religious guys with one eye or one hand or anything. So Jesus takes sin very seriously. We should do everything in our power to pursue God and not be a slave to sin. My guess is that we don't take sin in our lives nowhere near as serious as Jesus. He also said, love your enemies. Love my enemies. I hate the Romans. But he says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I know when someone persecutes me, as my friend Wayne says, they're going to get it. But Jesus points us to a different way. For as his followers, we should love those people. We should love the co-workers that gossip about us. We should pray for the people that try to kill us, as we did earlier. Listen to the people that even pray and love the people that vote differently than us. And help us to stand up against those who are opposed to us. Okay, as a general rule, I still don't understand. Well, yeah, I do. I understand why the priests and stuff were out to get him. Many of the Jewish leaders disliked, and eventually, some of those guys really hate Jesus. They were angry with him for upsetting their tradition and some of their scruples about the law. They looked down at him for eating with sinners and associating with those deemed unworthy and clean. He just stopped and spent the night at some tax collector's place. The tax collector, traitor. I don't know about Jesus. But most of all, they hate Jesus because he claims to be from God. And as time was on, he even dares to make himself God. That's the thing that I'm struggling. I can see the things that he's doing, and he's preaching, and he's helping people, and he's doing some pretty miraculous stuff. But then he goes about and he starts claiming that he's God. Coming from the Jewish tradition, when you say you're God, that's blasphemy. There's only one God. The Shema, it points that out to us tremendously. We all know that. But Jesus, he started saying things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman or whatever, no one comes to the Father except through me. He also, if that wasn't enough, he was saying, I am the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the other day when he was at the portico at the temple, some people were gathered around him and started talking to him, and he says, who are you? Who are you? And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You can't say that as a Jewish dude. Like, you just can't. It goes against everything. We only have one God. But yet, we haven't had a prophet for over 400 years. And he's done all these things, and he's healed people. And he's so compassionate, and he cares about everybody. All week, as you know, I've been struggling with what is going on. First, there was a big parade for him, and then he's knocking things over at the temple and getting mad there, and that didn't help anything. And then he says, I am God. At that point, the religious guys just had one broke a blood vessel in his head, I tell you. Oh, man. And then they're out to get him. Man. And they did. Tonight they arrested him. They hit him because he's turning against what we thought we wanted. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, there's no possibility for them to even think that he could be the Christ, our Messiah. And things have come to such a climax that talking with these guys that earlier tonight, some of them were saying that they're going to try him. They're going to try him tonight. He's not going to be tried for doing miracles and helping people. They're going to try him because they're going to try and prove that he's a false. He's a pretender. He's a false prophet, a false Messiah. They want to kill Jesus because he is saying that he's God. He's a blasphemer. That's what I'm wrestling with. Man, I heard about everything he's done. He's an extremely compelling person. He just has this magnetism. And he calls us to walk closer with God, to have a better relationship with God. He gives us hope. That the kingdom, he said, the kingdom of God is so close, you could grasp it. And up until this week, yeah, I understood that. I believed him. And then he says, I am God. I don't know what to think. I've been thinking all the way over, on my way over here. What does it matter? What does it matter? He's been arrested. I know the elite want to crush his growing movement. Everybody likes him, so, oh well, they did until this week. But they want to eliminate him, and it's blasphemy. What am I supposed to think? Is he the chosen one? A lot of evidence sure points that way. But how do I reconcile what he has done with what he is saying? We all expected a Messiah to come and crush and rule this world with us, the Israel nation, with him. That's what we expected. But his claims are so radically different. It's not what we wanted. Or expected. His approach to God is so relational. We expected the kingdom of God to come down, whoomp, it's here, ha ha. But that's not what he was saying it was going to be. And then there's been these rumors that he was saying that he was going to go away for a while and the temple's going to be destroyed. And then 3 days later, it's going to be raised up. Where are his followers? What's going on? I don't understand. What's going to happen tomorrow? What side am I on? I don't know what's going on. Is he a blasphemer? Or is he the Son of God?